Well, we've been doing a series on the book of Daniel, and this morning we're going to read the story of Daniel in the lion's den from Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 and following. It's a familiar story, but listen with fresh ears and open your heart to the Lord's word. Now this is Darius, also known as King Cyrus, has swept through Babylon and conquered the kingdom, and so we pick up the story there. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. With these three administrations over them, one of them was Daniel. The satraps were being accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over their own whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, the men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it's something to do with the law of his God." So three administrators and satraps went to the group and king said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any other god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home upstairs to his room where the windows were open before Jerusalem. And three times he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had always done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. The New Testament lesson this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Real easy, you can memorize it if you'd like. So it's, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Can you say it together? "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." This morning I'd like to talk about facing trials of faith with, not fear, but with faith. We're looking at Daniel in the lion's den, but first I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this archaeologist from New York who dug down 10 feet in New York City and he found traces of copper wire dating back 100 years. He concluded the New Yorkers had a telephone network over 100 years ago. Not to be outdone, an archaeologist from California dug down 20 feet and found copper wiring dating back 200 years. He concluded the Californians had a massive communication network 100 years before New Yorkers. Upon hearing this, Bubba from Indiana dug down 30 feet on his farm and found absolutely nothing. He declared that Hoosiers more than 300 years ago had already gone wireless. So welcome to the heartland. Things are great right here in Indiana. So anyways, we're looking at Daniel this summer. It's been an action-packed sort of a blockbuster book. It's not that long, but there's some of the most incredible stories in all the Bible. We looked at how Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego were taken away when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel and destroyed the temple, took all the valuables out of the temple, destroyed it, and took the best and brightest with him to Babylon. And there they were supposed to rise to a higher level and then help sort of conquer or rule the Israel and other conquered lands. And so these four young men went with them. Their first trial came when they told that they should have a diet that was different from the sacred diet, the sacred vows they had taken as young people. And they remained faithful to that diet in the midst of that trial, and God proved faithful to them. And then again, when the king had a dream and threatened that anyone who could not only tell him the dream but tell an interpretation would be killed, Daniel went front and center and risked his life to tell the king the meaning of the dream. And then there was another trial when the king made a 90-foot-high statue and wanted everyone to bow down at the sound of the music, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. And so they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the fire that was supposed to destroy them ended up burning off the bonds that tied them. And there was also a figure of what the king described as the Son of God in there, the fourth figure with them. And we believe that that was the pre-existent Christ. And it's a picture to us also, but sometimes when the trials of our faith appear so hot and difficult, that Christ is there with us, just as he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then the king had another dream, and Daniel interpreted it. He told him because of his great pride that he would go crazy and eat cattle in the field, just like the cattle in the field, and eat the grass for 7 years, and then he would regain his sanity and give praise to God. And that happened just like that, as amazing as that was. And then finally, the king's died, and then his son and grandson took the throne, and his name was Belshazzar, very close to Daniel's Babylonian name. And that king was having a party. He took all the sacred goblets and what have you that the king Nebuchadnezzar, his great-grandfather, had taken from the temple and began to have a party with them. And in the middle of that party, with all his nobles and all these people there at the party, there was a handwriting that appeared and began writing on the wall. And Daniel came and interpreted that to him and told him that he had been judged and found wanting. And that very night, that the Persians under Darius or Cyrus, Cyrus had known either way, would take over. And that's exactly what happened. They came and swept through Babylon. And in fact, the rule was so poor at that time, the people welcomed as a deliverer rather than as a conqueror. And so that's where we pick up the story. Daniel is again promoted, just as he was before. He's one of the top three people in the land. And of course, people became jealous of Daniel, wanted to find something wrong with him and say that he didn't have integrity. And it was impossible because his integrity was above any kind of disrepute whatsoever. And so they devised a plan whereby they went to the king and said, working on his pride, that if anyone prayed to any other god other than the king, that they would be thrown into the lion's den. And so the king made that edict. We pick up the story here, and Daniel goes and does just what he had done before, which is he goes and he prays in his room with the windows open, and people see him. And so the question for all of us, I think, as we look at that, first of all, some people might, first of all, wonder, in that area of the world, do they have lions? And lions aren't naturally a part of that, but because Cyrus the Great, because his kingdoms went all the way from Africa and India, it was the largest empire in the Western world to that time. And even today, they say this is really the first world empire before the Roman Empire. Kings would often bring, in a time before zoos and what have you, people would bring something of a sort of a memento of how powerful they were from the ends of the region. So a lion would be sort of a good thing to bring in a time before zoos. We also know from archaeology, there's a number of archaeological reliefs, and we had a picture I can show you, of lions during the reign of Darius. So it's Darius, and one of the symbols was a lion. And so we believe that Darius had lions in a lion's den, and that the threat was if you prayed to anyone other than the king, that you would be thrown into the lion's den. And then because the law was that nothing could short of, once the king had made an edict, then it couldn't be broken. And so it couldn't be repealed. And so the king was sort of tricked into that. And if that was made today, and we were not supposed to pray, I mean, we might be tempted to pray, but would we pray with our windows open so everyone could see us? And sometimes when you think about that, I mean, sometimes we go to a restaurant, and if our custom is to pray at our dinner table, I mean, sometimes we do the, you know, the prayer that's like, you got a headache or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but I mean, it's like, it's a quick prayer, but not Daniel. And no one's going to judge us at the dinner table and say, well, they're praying publicly. And I think that's a great thing. But Daniel, in a bold sort of move, just does what he normally does. He opens his windows towards Jerusalem and prays, not only for Jerusalem, but also, no doubt, for the Babylonians and now the Persians. And there are the people there who wanted to trick him. And so they go to the king, and tell the king again, said, King, didn't you make this order that anyone who prays to any other god or any other person other than you will be thrown into the lion's den? The king says, that's exactly as it is. He said, well, Daniel, your servant has done just that. And in that moment, the king was taken back and he realized what had happened, but he also realized that he had made a law and it needed to stand. And so he tried, as the scripture says, that he tried in whatever way that he could to try to find a way to get out of that, but he was unable. And so as sundown approached, when it was supposed to be the time when he was thrown in, he brought Daniel before him. And I want to just pick up the story there because it's such an incredible story. Before being answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians. It cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is the exile of the Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or decree in writing. He still prays three times a day. Then the men went as a group to the king and said, King, remember that the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree, the edict the king issues, can be changed. And so the king gave the order. But then the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. In other words, the king was pulling for Daniel, and then he had Daniel thrown into the lion's den. And it says the king took his ring. And so they put a stone in front of the lion's den. And then what they would do in order, at any edict the king made, they put a lump of clay on there, and the king had a special ring that only the king would have. And so the king put his ring onto the imprint of the clay to make sure no one could break the seal of that rock and it could not be moved. And so it says that the king couldn't sleep all night. Meanwhile, Daniel was in the lion's den. If you think of that, about that for a moment, we know that lions, as I said with Savannah, are some of the most ferocious animals on the planet. And if you, I don't know if anyone ever been to the Indianapolis Zoo, anyone there? Well, first of all, they're very fast, and cats as a whole are very, very fast. I don't know if you've ever done the thing where you race a cheetah there. We've done that. Anyone beat the cheetah? Lions aren't as fast as a cheetah, but they're tremendously, tremendously fast. They're also fearless. Now, over our vacation, Savannah and I went to this animal sanctuary, exotic animal sanctuary in Florida, and they didn't have lions, but they had tigers. And tigers are very impressive too, so I'm not making light of tigers. But tigers, first of all, tigers typically don't attack you from the front. I don't know if you know that. Tigers will wait and attack you from the back. And that's why that a lot of people in India and Africa where there are tigers and they work out in the jungle will wear a mask on the back of their head, because tigers will see the mask on the back of their head when they pass by and won't attack them. Lions aren't that way. Lions will attack you head on. They're ferocious. And then tigers also don't roar. Tigers chuck, which, you know, isn't going to help you if they're attacking you. They are moody, and we were told while we were there that once they have this, like, chuck that they do only... And a tiger doesn't chuck before you leave, it means it's mad at you. And a tiger doesn't chuck before you leave, then you have to, before you leave, make it chuck again, because it holds a grudge, and if you don't get it to do that, then it could attack next time. So you have to, I don't know what happens in the long hours while you're waiting to try to coax this tiger to chuck, but... Lions aren't that way. They have a deafening roar that can just almost cripple you. It's just, it can actually make you get deaf. It's so loud. So they're fast and they're fearless. They're ferocious. They'll attack you from the front. And there's Daniel. He's thrown into this den of lions in the middle of all this. And you have to wonder how he felt. But it says that he had courage regardless. And so the king, meanwhile, is up all night during this. And it says this, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And the king was sort of crying out in plea, and here's what Daniel answered. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor I have done anything wrong before you, O king. And it says the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the lion's den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wrong was found in him, because he had trusted God and because his faith was that way. And then the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den. They didn't see that one coming, so, but that doesn't always happen, but... You know, Daniel, whether or not the lions would destroy him, had faith in God and believed to do the right thing, and he prayed. And he prayed three times in front of everyone and had a public declaration of faith. And you think how powerful that was, that Daniel faced his fears, what had to be fears, with faith and trust in God. So he prayed and he persevered and he trusted God. And because of that, this is what it says. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. Now, you have to remember, this is the first global empire that we know. Well, outside of the Eastern world, this is the largest empire, the first really, truly world empire. And this is what the king wrote to all peoples, King Darius. He said, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered in the reign of King Darius, who was Cyrus the Persian also. And you think of that incredible proclamation of faith that this king, the first sort of global empire that we know of, issued because of Daniel's faith. If Daniel had never been put in that place, then it's doubtful whether this great king, this world emperor, would ever come to faith in God. And because Daniel was put in that place where his faith was on the line, and because he trusted God, and because he was bold in declaring his faith, that this king came to know God. We don't know how well he came to know God, but we know this, that he came and he issued this edict where through the entire region. Now, this is all the way from Africa to India, all the Near East, the lands now of Iraq and Iran and other areas around there. You think about our own lives for a moment. We probably won't face a crisis of faith like that, but we all have some fears, don't we? It may not be a line, but sometimes it's a health issue in our life, and maybe it feels just as difficult as we face the results of a doctor, or maybe there's a financial crisis in our life. Maybe there's some relationships that are difficult in our life. Maybe it's just sort of the shadow of death itself, because it's unknown. And even though we believe God and trust in Christ and believe in eternal life in heavenly home, that there's still that anxiety that we face. There's sort of a fear of the unknown. And so I think we can, in the middle of that, face those fears the same as Daniel faced his fears in the lion's den. Because it doesn't say that Daniel wasn't afraid. It just says that Daniel declared his faith and did what he should have. And so I think that we can pray like Daniel. We can pray, and we don't have to make a spectacle of it, but we also don't need to be ashamed that we pray, and we don't need to be ashamed of our faith. And so to pray and then to persevere, just put you one foot in front of the next and see if God is there and how God moves, and know that God is going to do that, and then finally to trust God. And to remember that promise that Paul told the Philippians, I know in him I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And whatever the moment requires, that God will be there and God will meet us in strength. It's not how able we are, but how able God is. Now you think for a moment about Darius the Great or Cyrus the Great. He was known later as he conquered all this area of the world, not just for his ability and military might, but he was known for his policies and peace. It was because of him that he set all the people free who had been conquered by the Babylonians, including the Jews. He allowed them to return to Jerusalem. Some of the Jews who had prospered under his reign and didn't want to return, he taxed them, and with that money, he helped to fund the rebuilding of the temple. In fact, he did so much for the rebuilding of the temple for the Israelites that in Isaiah chapter 44 and 45, there's a sort of a psalm of praise to Darius or Cyrus the Great about what he'd done. And without that, then that probably never would happen. And so Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach had incredible faith, lived through trials and adversity, and faced their fears in an incredible way. But that's not all. Because Cyrus's land stretched from Africa and India and all the Middle East, we don't know. We know that his proclamation went out about faith in Daniel's God and faith in the God of Israel, God to serve him and how great he was. But more than 500 years passed. And we know this, that Magi from the east, we believe Persia and India may have been part of that place, came and saw a star. And they followed that star to the place they realized was near Bethlehem and inquired about that. And there they came to worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And because of them, they took back the message of the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ, that God loves people in all places and times. And I wonder today, if it hadn't been for Daniel's witness of faith and Cyrus's proclamation of faith in God, would they have come? Would they have seen the Christ child? Wouldn't they have gone back to declare the good news of God's love to all people in all places as the first people outside of Israel to come and worship the Christ child? I think it's a great miracle that may have been part of that. I like to think about that as I just read these words from Paul in Romans 8. He says this, and we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. What then should we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him
who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
And one last few that you look at, it's a wonderful sort of image, I think. Think about in closing, about Daniel as he faced his fears and was thrown to the lion's den. In 1 Peter, Peter refers to the devil as a roaring lion who goes about seeking those whom he may devour. And you think about the image of Daniel being thrown into a lion's den and that being sealed with a rock and sealed with the king's ring. And it really brings to mind as he was brought out from that, as the rock was moved, Daniel came out of the lion's den. Think about, it's hard to not think about the image of Jesus Christ. How Jesus gave his life on the cross, was willing to lay down his life and serve our Father, and then really be thrown into a grave for 3 days. And that grave was sealed the same way. And then on the third day, having faced the greatest fear that we could ever face in the darkness of death and to face the lion that is the enemy, Jesus came forth and was resurrected to new life and shows the way to eternal life in God. And Daniel is the first and probably greatest picture of that in our life. And we too, in the same way, can face not only our fears, but death itself, the kind of faith that knows that God will be there and God will always see us through. It's not how able we are, but how able God is. And we too, like Daniel, can face our fears with faith. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for your love and your mercy and your grace. We pray, Lord, like Daniel, that we would be men and women who stand up for our faith, to keep first things first, that we'll pray and boldly proclaim our faith before others. And we know in our strong faith that you will be there with us. We trust you, we believe in you, and we know that not only will you meet us through the needs of this life, but in life to come, through your power and to your glory. Amen.